Good morning, Believers Church. Again, we're not together, and that's aggravating to me, but I believe we get to be a part of something great. We get to be a part of something that when we come out of this, we're going to look back and say how awesome God is and what he's done for us. I just want to say good morning, church. If you're visiting with us from another church, maybe dropping in on us, maybe you're just checking us out, welcome. It's awesome to have you here with us today, watching wherever you may be watching from. It's awesome to even have you just hang out with us. Before I get started, we've had questions about when we're going to meet in person again. And I just wanted to kind of give you a quick update. I met with our trustees and our overseers this week. And here's our game plan for now. We're going to be online, obviously today, and then for the next 2 weeks on May 3rd and May 10th. We have set a goal, and it's just a goal right now, to be back live in person on May 17th. That's going to depend what it looks like in the next few weeks, what the service here looks like. We have a lot of decisions to make with kids and nurseries and a lot of different components, and we just don't know yet. But anyway, as a team, we've set a goal for May 17th. That's also going to depend on the governor and our government's instructions and what they want us to do so that we can follow their wisdom and instructions. It's dependent on faith, and it's dependent on wisdom, but that's our plan. So we're shooting for the 17th, so we're praying that it happens. We'll keep you updated. Just watch our social media over the next few weeks, and then during our services, we'll tell you as well. But just keep an eye on that as we go through the next few weeks. You know, we started a series last week called Running with the Giants, and it's one of really my favorite. It's built around this idea out of Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the Hall of Faith, or kind of a hall of fame of our heroes in the faith. And the Bible talks about these people who are watching our race, the life that we're running now. What if they could come down out of the stands and run a lap with us based on their experiences and what we learn about in the Bible? What would they tell us? Last week we talked about Noah, and if you missed that, I encourage you to go back. All our services are on demand, so you can watch those from previous weeks, especially the one last week. But what would they say to us? What would they encourage us? How would they warn us about troubles they face that we can maybe be spared from? What are the things they would tell us? And I love this idea about spending time with people who have an experience that we can learn from, or who are at the top of their game, who've done great things. This week we're going to talk about, and I'm going to ask Moses to come down out of the stands. Now, Moses did a lot of cool stuff. We could talk for months about Moses, God using Moses to humble Pharaoh as he sent the plagues against him, God using Moses as he parted the sea when the Egyptian army was coming after him, God used Moses and he struck a rock and water came out of it, God fed Moses and the people of Israel with meat and bread that would come new every morning that fell from the sky. He saw a lot of miracles. But this morning, for a few minutes, I want us to focus in on something that was unique with Moses. Something a little more specific that we can look at today, that something we can walk through today. And that is how he interacted with God. How Moses would encounter God frequently. It was a very personal relationship. Look what the Bible says here in Numbers chapter 12. God starts talking to Moses, and his brother and his sister, Aaron and Miriam, are with him. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now Moses was very humble, and more humble than anybody else on earth." If you skip down to verse 6, it says, "And the Lord said to them," this is Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I would reveal myself to them in visions. I would speak to them in dreams." Now in verse 7, "But this is not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, this is the one I trust." And verse 8, "I speak to him as face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is." See, our desire at Believers, for all of you, and if you've been here before, you've heard me say this, and you've heard our team say this, it's on the walls, it's in the foyer, it's on our sign, is for you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and then that will help you and us as a team make a difference in this world. And the way we sum that up is we want to help people take one step. One step from where they are in life, one step closer to the place where God wants you to be. You see, I don't think it's only Moses that God wants to speak face to face with. I know he wants that with me and you. The question that we ask Moses is, how did you get there? How did you have that relationship with God when you were able to encounter God and speak to him as face to face? What is our one step? What is our next steps? How do we get to that place? And I think Moses would give us four things. And the first thing is that you value his voice. There's an easy way to tell if this is true for you, and it's really true in most of our relationships. And the question is, who does most of the talking? We tend to, when we relate to God, we tend to go in, open the door, and start praying, or go wherever we're praying from, and we just talk. God, I need you to fix. God, I need this. And you just talk. And there's nothing wrong with talking to God. I think as a father, he enjoys us coming to him and us sharing our hearts with him. But the question is, do you value his voice? In other words, are you quiet? It's like they used to tell you, and your elementary school teachers are probably familiar with this. You don't listen with your mouth, you listen with your ears. And a lot of times I think we don't give God that value to listen to his voice. See, also things you value, you give effort to. You prepare for. What you hold dear, you sacrifice for. You give of yourself to. I know for me, I'm one of probably like a lot of you that love to hunt. And we think about it all year. We think about our rifles. We think about food plots. We think about our hunting blinds and the areas. We scout. I know many of you guys who just sit in the woods and just watch, spending time and effort. Why? Because it's of value to you. Look what the Bible says here in Exodus 33. It was Moses' practice. In other words, he did this regularly to take the tent of the meeting. The tent of the meeting was not the tabernacle. It was kind of like a little mini church where Moses would go in an enclosed space and meet God. And the Bible says that he would set it up some distance from the camp. In other words, it wasn't right there close by. And they had to take it and set it up. If you skip to verse 9, it says, as he went into the tent, a pillar that would come down and hover over its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. See, I can imagine Moses in that tent just listening to the wisdom and the instruction and the encouragement and the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Because God says that he met with him face to face. He didn't speak to him in dreams and puzzles. And even in the New Testament, the Bible uses the word parable. But the Bible says he told him like it was. So I think Moses valued, and he would tell us to value the voice of God. The next thing I think he would tell you is to plan to meet with God. You see, we plan everything else. And this is not just about your personality. Sometimes I like to do things on a whim and go, not plan. I plan a lot of stuff just because schedule necessitates it. But we plan everything. Think now, what is the one thing in your life that you've planned out the furthest for? A lot of you have already planned out next year's vacations, trips years from now. If you're business, you plan way out into the future. Yet when it comes to God, now, I know it's a little different now because we're on this online part of life where we can't come here in person. But do you plan to go to church on Sunday? Do you prepare in your heart? I get to go hang out with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I get to go hear from God. I get to go serve people. Or do you just wake up and then decide to go? What is it? You see, Moses would say to us, plan. You see, Moses had to plan to take that tent out. He had to plan to take his people out. See, we plan these things to go have time to talk with God. And it doesn't have to be a theological discussion. You can go hang out with God right in your car as you drive to work. Maybe right now at home you need some time away from your kids. Go sit in your car. Go shut the door and have 5 minutes and say, God, just talk to me. Encourage me. God, I need you to encourage me. You can do that today. And it doesn't have to be King James English. Most of us are from South Georgia. We don't speak the King James English. Don't talk to God that way. Talk to him just like you would anybody else. Anybody else that's important to you in life. And listen to his voice. It doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes as Christians, I think we way overcomplicate this relationship. That God wants to be close, not complicated. He's here for us. He did for us through His Son Jesus, and there's nothing complicated about it. In Exodus chapter 19, God tells Moses, hey, I'm going to meet with you and my people in 3 days. And He gives them 3 days to do what? To prepare. He says, I'm going to meet you at Mount Sinai, and I'm going to talk to you. And He tells them to get the people ready. Go through this process to get ready and be ready on the third day. And it says in Exodus 19, 16, on the morning of the third day, the thunder clapped, a smoke showed up, and Moses blew a trumpet, and Moses led the people out. Then in verse 17, it says, Moses led them out to the camp to do what? To meet with God. Because they had to prepare for it. They had to get ready for it. And see, the truth is, and this sounds harsh, but it's true. God does not enter places that are not prepared. In the Old Testament, they had to follow very strict rules to when God was going to show up. The place, the area, the altar had to be prepared right. For us, as New Testament Christians, we don't have to worry about that. Our hearts are prepared, our lives are prepared when we surrender those to Jesus. When we let the blood of Jesus, who paid for our sins, be Lord of our life. That's why the Bible says He can show it with us. We have free access into the Father now because the preparation has been done. So plan to meet with God. And when you do meet with Him, I think the other thing Moses would tell us is begin to shift your focus from the things of the world, the things that are attacking you, the things that aren't going your way, the things you don't understand, and shift that focus to worship. You see, worship is just not music. Worship is not just us filling time at the beginning of service. A while back, and I hesitate to even tell this story, but it's funny. I was in the foyer and I was walking out and I heard somebody say, well, worship's about to start. And the person they were talking to said, well, that's okay. We still have a few minutes even after worship starts. And they never saw me. They didn't hear me. And if this was you, it's okay. I get it. But what were they saying? Well, they're saying that worship is just that time at the beginning of a service that's just kind of my buffer. It's my running late time. Well, no, see, we put the service in its order and we do worship at the front because I want you to have time to settle your heart, to settle your mind, to change your focus and focus on God. Focus on the one who created you. Focus on the one who saved you, who loved you, who's brought you healing. Focus on the one who really doesn't care the wrong you did last night because He knows He's forgiven you through that when you apply Jesus over your life. He's not asking you to change. He's asking you to let Him change you and let Him help you, not change first. Worship is not us just music. It's not just good words about God. It is when all of us, all of who I am, is focused on the one who created me. And I begin to push aside the problems of life and focus on Him. Focus on Him. And you know, the Bible says there's power when that happens. There's even a story in the Bible. Judah and Jerusalem, the cities and the people, were being surrounded by 3 different armies. And the people were freaking out. And King Jehoshaphat basically goes to the people, and one of the people in his army, comes and says, hey, y'all are fighting a battle that's not yours. We're still going to march out in the morning. We're still going to march out and defend these people that are coming out against these teams and these armies that are coming at us. But you're fighting a battle that's not yours. And he talks about this in 2 Chronicles 20. And the king appointed singers in chapter 20, verse 21, to walk ahead of them. In other words, he put the band out front to walk out in front. And look what happened. And they began to sing, and the Lord sing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. If you go to verse 22, at that very moment, at the moment they begin to sing and give praise, look what happens. The Lord caused the armies to begin to take each other out. You see, I'm convinced that's what happens even this morning as you worshiped in your home. If you valued His voice, if you began to shift your focus to worship and away from the problems of the world, away from the coronavirus, away from, are you maybe out of work? Are you on furlough? Where am I going to get money to pay my bills? Am I going to have a job when this is all over? Are my kids going to serve God? Is my marriage going to survive? If you begin to focus and you begin to focus on Him and just worship, sing the songs that are laid out in front of you. Sometimes the Bible talks about us singing from our hearts. You may not even be singing what's on the wall or what's on the screen. You're just kind of singing thanks to God. When they began to do that, the Bible says that God brought confusion within the things that were attacking them, and they essentially killed themselves. They never had to fire a shot because God took care of it. You see, that is the reason that we put it at the front, so we can begin to do that. It's a time to set things aside and begin to focus. Begin to focus on what God has done for you, what He can do for you. Begin to focus on His promises. Now, as we round the corner, we've run this lap with Moses. And as we come around the corner, I think there's one more thing he would say, one more thing that he would encourage us. And it really fits the time we're in now. The uncertainty. Are we coming out of this? Is it over? What's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? Do we stick with the plan of God? Do we keep faith? Or should we be afraid? Because there was a time when Moses went to the mountain. And most of you maybe have heard of the movie. But Moses goes to the mountain to meet with God. And this is the time when he's getting the Ten Commandments. And while he's gone, the Israelites just fall apart. Begin worshiping other gods. They melt down everything they have, the precious metals, and make these idols and begin to worship them. They just turn their back on God. Now, I want you to think of this from Moses and his relationship with God. Because he was meeting with God, but he had to feel somewhat alone. Because God had told him, you're going to lead these people into the promised land. And he leaves them for a short time, and they lose it. See, I think a lot of us are sitting on your couch this morning, in your car, watching on the TV. And there's this question, God, you've asked me to do this, but how is this going to work? The rest of the world seems to be falling apart. My family seems to not want to follow you. And just like we talked about last week with Noah, you can make a difference in your family. But this morning, I want you to focus. You can draw closer to God because He's got promises. And the same promise I'm about to share with you, He gave to Moses, He has for you as well. Look at this. It's in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. And Moses is talking with God and said, hey, you told me to do some stuff, and how's this going to happen? Because these people down here are just going nuts. They're walking away. But look what this says. It says, the Lord replied to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In other words, don't freak out. Have some peace. When this whole thing with the coronavirus started, and before we had to stop meeting in person, there were several nights that I just struggled. God, you've asked me to do this, but I got these people on the right saying we need to meet at all costs. I got these people on the left saying, no, we need to stop now. People were coming at me from all different directions. I really just had to back away and go do what Moses did. Say, God, I need you to tell me what to do, because as all of us, as pastors, it's not a decision we took lightly. Not one we make lightly now going week to week. I've talked with several pastors in our community, and all of us are itching to get back together because we miss you. We miss hanging out with the people in our congregations, the people that God's sent to us to shepherd and to care for. But look what Moses says here. Then Moses says to him in verse 15, if your presence doesn't go with us, then I don't want to go. I don't want to leave here. Why? Because Moses wanted to stay right there with God. Because the presence of God didn't move, wasn't with them on the earth. Now, and with Jesus, the Bible says He sent us a helper in His Holy Spirit, and God's presence is here with us always. He's in your home right now. He's in your car right now. He's here with me this morning. He's with us. But Moses said, hey, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go. We have that promise from God, and the cool thing about us today is that wherever you go, the Bible says He's with you. Not just in the big sense, but in the very minute sense of right here with you. Every step you take, He's with you. Everywhere you go, He's with you. And in verse 17, if you skip to that verse, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to do this very thing you asked because I am pleased with you." And then he just says something very personal to Moses. "And I know you by name." And I know this sounds cheesy, it sounds religious, and it sounds kind of thin, but it's true. It's very true, and it will change your life if you grab a hold of this, or maybe you just need to be reminded of this. I think the last thing Moses would tell us is that God is always with you. God, you need to know that God knows your name. He knows that name of you. You know, a lot of you, and especially in the South, we have some weird middle names. And you've never told anybody your middle name. God knows your middle name. God knows the things about you that you've shared with nobody else. He knows you that personally. And he wants you to know him that way. And this is what Moses tapped into. I think Moses would say to us, you can have this same close and intimate relationship with God that I have. Because the Bible says of us, we have the Holy Spirit, that our spirit talks to God and goes back and forth. That's why it's so easy for us to have these conversations with God. So I think you value his voice. And some of you, even now, that value may be, I need to respond to Jesus today. And I'm going to offer you that chance in a minute. You've never responded to that thumping in your heart, but you know that God's messing with you. He's trying to draw you to him, and it's time to respond. For some of you, it's a reminder of, oh, I remember, that's what God sounds like. And you get excited about it again, and you begin to read your word. You begin to pursue it. You begin to move forward. You begin to take those one steps from where you are, one step closer to where he wants you to be. Then we plan to prepare and prepare to meet with God. And when you do in worship, begin to shift your focus. I know if you're like me, it's hard. If I say, make a decision, I'm going to pray, and I walk, sit down in a chair, and I have to fight my mind because I want to think about everything else that I need to do. I can't remember a lot of stuff that I need to do, but if I want to, I just pray because suddenly I can remember all those things, and it's my mind fighting for control when my spirit's just trying to have that one-on-one meeting with God. So plan, prepare to meet with God. And when you do this, I promise you, let God work. When you focus on him and not on the stuff around you, you'll begin to see these things take shape. You'll begin to see things you've been praying about for a long time begin to happen. You'll begin to see your kids and family come back to you. You'll begin to see the relationships restored and life coming when you focus away from the things around you and focus on him. You see, this same God who we worship, who sent his son for you, knows your name. He knows you, and he's always with you. I was told this week of some people that we were asked to pray for. They're going through a very tough time, a kind of dark time. And you need to know that even in the lowest of lows, he's there with you. David writes in Psalms, I can go to the pit of hell, the lowest low of lows, and God, you're there. And then he writes right after that, God, I can go to the highest heights of heaven, and you're there. The God that is there when you're in your hell moment and is there when your heaven moment is right there with you now wherever you are. And you need to know that. And I'm going to ask you now, like I have every week and I will continue to do, why not today? Why not take your one step today? And the place where you are, you're far from God and you want to get closer. It's just one step. And it's by going back, and I've said it week after week, and I'm going to continue to say it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart that Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what he said he would do for me for eternity. It's a prayer as simple as that. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, for all those within the sound of my voice who say, today I want to take a step. I want the relationship that Moses had with you, I want to have with you. God, I lift these people up as they confess you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, as they receive everything you've done for them, and they, Father God, repent for their sins, that they have that relationship with you. They've taken a step closer to you, and we celebrate with them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you need to know in heaven the Bible says that they're throwing a party for you, and we are too. So if that's you, matter of fact, for all of you watching today, comment on YouTube, comment on Facebook, let us know you're here. If you have something specific we can pray with you about, shoot us a message. We'd love to pray with you. We miss you. We can't wait to be with you again. Before we go, I want to pray for all of you who are doing your tithe and your offering. You guys are so generous. It has blown us away by how you've been generous and maintained your giving, even through all this mess. We are truly a blessed house, and I want that same blessing for you, and the Bible even promises you that. So let me pray for you, and then we'll say goodbye, and we'll be back here next week. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the generosity of this house. I thank you for people who worship you in their tithe, and they give you an offering, Father God. I ask you to bless it. That all of the churches in this area, Father God, everybody giving and continuing to tithe, they'll be blessed. Father, our family here will be blessed. That this house will have more than enough to do everything you've asked us to do to reach people for Jesus. And the homes represented that I'm speaking to now, Father God, they'll have more than enough to do everything you've asked them to do. As you give us more, Father God, we'll do more. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, we love you. I love you dearly. I can't wait to see you again. Melanie and the girls, we love you. If you need anything, call us, email us, send a carrier pigeon. We love you, and we'll see you again next week.